Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and catch your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today I'm going to talk to you about living a life of the oblivious. It's possible for us to live in a life that we absolutely have no idea what's going on around us. Maybe because we're just a little bit better off than everybody else around us. You know, I don't know what it is. But there is this weird thing where you can live right in the middle of a totally educated society and not have any idea what's going on around you. I'm going to give you an example that I just ran into yesterday. And it's an example I've actually ran into for the last 3 or 4 days. And it's kind of interesting. We were coming home the other day from a party this weekend. And we had heard that on the radio and stuff that there was flooding and so forth. And there was a lot of rain. But it just so happened that the route that we took back to our house, which was from east to west, and then from west to south back to our house, there was no flooding at all. We didn't see anything. We had no idea. At our house, there was rain, constant rain, but it wasn't the kind of rain that flooded our neighborhood creeks. There was no obvious, you know, flooding going on around us. And so we just never thought anything of it. Then the next day, I got up and I'm watching the news, national news, and they're talking about the very city that I live in is flooded, that the Brazos River is out of the banks, and that there's massive flooding. And they're showing pictures of massive flooding and saying it's Richmond, Texas. Well, I live in Richmond, Texas. Smack dab in the middle of Fort Bend County. And they're saying this place is devastated. And I'm not seeing one sign of it. And I get Melissa, I say, you got to see this. What is going on here? Where are they talking about? Where is it actually flooding? So again, we paid no attention to the signs whatsoever. We were totally oblivious. Yesterday, we had an appointment to go out and look at a Class A apartment complex out of town. So we had to go out of town down Southwest Freeway. And we were driving south down across 99, and we came to the Brazos River. And we couldn't believe it. The Brazos River was almost up to the top of this gigantic overpass that went over the top of the river. And it was flooded as far as we could see, but we didn't think anything of it. It's like, wow, that's scary as can be. And we crossed that, and we went on down to the 59, and we went on out and looked at this apartment complex, spent the whole day there. And then we came back. And it rained and rained and rained. We think, well, maybe I hope it doesn't get any worse. You know what I mean? It looked pretty bad. But we made no arrangements for it. We didn't think it through. And so on the way back, instead of going back to the major freeway, which had this overpass, I got off on the wrong road because GPS tried to send me the shortest way, which was another route back through Richmond, directly through Richmond on 359 or something like that. Some street that normally would be fine, but it's just a farm-to-market road, and, you know, it's not that fast, and so normally we would take the freeway. But this time, it's like, well, I got off on the wrong turn, and we were on the phone talking to somebody. I said, I'll just follow the GPS. It'll get me there. And all of a sudden, I showed up in the middle of Richmond, Texas. Now, I've been to Richmond, Texas before. Neat little place, you know, one main street. I've been up and down that street. And so I go down the street. I turn and go down the street to where we would normally go north and go up to where we live. And the road was blocked off. The cops had us blocked off. And then I started to get scared. I go, wait a minute. Is this where they're talking about the flooding is at? And so I go, man, I don't want to go all the way back south, all the way down to 59, then 59 all the way back into town, come across the main freeway and then all the way back. So I turned around and I said, I'll just go down Highway 90 and follow it on down to where there's two or three different places you could go north, et cetera, et cetera. And I came to the bridge that I thought might be flooded out that I might not be able to get out of town on, but it was okay. You could get over it. But right on the other side of that bridge, all the lowlands had flooded. And there were police blocking off all the routes. And even the side of the street that we were on, which was going east, had been closed, and they had forced us up onto the higher ground of the side of the road that would normally go west. But they had split it in two, and one set of cars is going one way, and one set of cars is going the other way. So now I'm really getting scared. I'm going, my gosh, what is going on? And so I'm driving, and every turn where I would normally turn left and go north up into Richmond, north up to where we live, north up to Cinco Ranch area, they were all blocked. They're all closed. Everything. Now I'm thinking, like, the only other way to go north is on 99, and 99 has a gigantic dip where you go under the underpass. And I said, man, that might be an area where the water could be 10, 15 feet deep. We may not be able to get out of here. And I started to get scared. I was literally like starting to worry, man, either I'm not going to get home or I'm going to have to go a couple hours out of my way to get around this disaster to get back home again. And it started to worry me. And then I started to think, Dell, why were you oblivious to this entire situation? Why were you not paying attention? Why were you not aware that if they're telling you Richmond, Texas is flooded, that you're not believing it? Why are you just saying, nah, not me. It's not going to be me. It's never going to happen to me. Now, I did drive my truck, by the way, which is a little bit higher water clearance, just in case there was some water in the streets. But the pure arrogance of the whole thing, right? The pure arrogance of the whole thing is that I will be okay. I will get through it. I will outsmart this problem if there even is a problem, because maybe the problem won't even happen to me because I'm just, you know, a little smarter than the average bear, a little luckier than the average bear, a little something. But there it was happening to me. And all of a sudden I felt just as small. I'm thinking, what good does my bodybuilding career and my muscles do me? What good does my wallet and checkbook do me if there's no way to get out of Richmond and I have to stay there in this little flooded town? I started thinking, wow, it could happen to me. And luckily I got out of there. You know, it's one of those things like after the stock market crashes a couple, two, three, 4 days in a row, you're going, man, it shouldn't have happened to me. But you've been oblivious to it. It's happening to everybody else, and now it happens to you. You lose your job. You've been oblivious to the fact that everybody's been losing their jobs because of the oil business going, the low prices of oil. But it would never get to you because you're not in a direct oil-related business. But as one giant oil company lays off and another smaller oil company lays off, and then those companies that service those big companies are forced to lay off, pretty soon your company's services are no longer needed as a restaurant, as an apartment complex, as something or other. You start to feel the pain. But up until that moment, you were oblivious to it. It would never happen to you. That's the way people live their lives. Right now, if you don't have two or three different ways to support yourself, you have only one. Then you could wake up tomorrow and have none. If you don't have passive income streams to support you, or if you don't have a large chunk of money in the bank to support you in case something happens, then you could wake up tomorrow and have none. You've got to wake up. I mean, when I saw this, I started thinking about this. This was such a metaphor to me, to the people that I meet that are oblivious to the fact that they have no way to get out of their personal floods, to get out of their personal problems and challenges that come up like they do for everybody. And because they don't, when that day happens, they're going to lose everything in that flood. They're going to lose everything in that job loss. They're going to lose everything in that hurricane because they have no backup in their life. And secondly, they're not even aware that they need some. We'll take a short break. Be back, right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Longtime Lifestyles member, Curtis Haynes.
The real joy for me, looking back, is helping others. And I wouldn't be able to have done it without the support of Lifestyles. I just can't say thank you enough, Dale, for that.
If we were to ask people if they could vote on the top 10 guys that help other people, you'd be one of them. There's no doubt about it.
You have this roadmap of all these success stories. I'm just one. I'm just one person out of 1,000 fantastic success stories that each and every person can learn from. That's my advice.
Take Curtis Haynes' advice. Come meet the like-minded, successful investors who are helping others just like Dell helped him. Attend the workshop. Get your map. Safely and quickly build wealth and passive income so you never have to worry about working until you drop, losing your job, or retiring in poverty. Call 1-866-971-8970 or go to 5WaysWeMakeMoney.com. That's 5WaysWeMakeMoney.com to register for the workshop that will change your life.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today, talking about being oblivious to that which goes on around you in life. And there's so much that occurs that, you know, your body can't take in every sensory perception that's out there. There's too much going on. And sometimes I find myself overwhelmed and you just have to let go of some of the stuff that's unimportant. The problem is, what ends up happening is that we spend most of our time dealing with the unimportant instead of dealing with that which could be very important in your life. And we've talked about this before, the rocks in the pickle jar story. I'll bring it up in full again another time. But the bottom concept is if you fill your jar with sand and water, you can't put the big important rocks in. You have to start with the big important rocks. Then you can fill in with gravel, which are those things that are important but not that important. And then you can fill in with sand and water, which is just the minutiae of life that fills up your bottle to where you're full and you have no more time left in life. But in the circumstances that I want to talk about today, I want to talk about the concept of the fact that most of us are living a life of quiet desperation and don't even realize it. So just like I didn't realize that I was in the middle of this flood, that something disastrous could happen to me. And by the way, found out today that they were actually evacuating people out of that area. That's why there were so many people out there and there's so many roads closed. They were getting people out. They were getting them out so they wouldn't die. And so, you know, I'm just totally unaware, oblivious to this fact that this is all going on. And I'm going to liken this to the fact that you are sitting there today going to work Monday through Friday, maybe Saturday, maybe Sunday, maybe work at nights. But you get up and you run in the rat race every single day, get on that little wheel and spin, and your life goes away. I was talking to a guy in an email the other day, and he says, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, and you know, but I'm going to do some more research, and I'm going to look further, and I'm going to get deeper, and I'm going to all this. And I said, look, I believe in healthy skepticism, but bottom line, you got to realize life is clicking by as fast as you can't even imagine. And the guy emailed me back. He goes, yeah, you're right. I'm going to go ahead and get started doing something. And it's just that simple to realize that life is clicking by as fast as it possibly can. And you're sitting there letting it go by, living in your life of quiet desperation. I'm going to talk about what the life of quiet desperation is. It is the lack of understanding of how the world really works. Stephen Covey came up with this thing called the maturity continuum. And it has an arrow that goes from left to right on a picture that takes you from dependency to independent to interdependent. And then you draw a couple lines down and you realize that most people are living in the first box, which is the dependent. Your kids are dependent on you. You're dependent on schools to teach your kids. You're dependent on your boss to pay you a check. You're dependent on the government to take care of things for you. If the government would just stop providing, you would be have a disaster. If your job was lost, you would have a disaster. Other people have those controls. Now, you say, well, Del, you've got those same problems. No, I don't really have all those same problems. I actually have a house that has a generator, a well, thousands, tens of thousands of gallons of water in five pools, so we'd have water forever to flush our toilets, a well that works, a generator that keeps everything going. So I am very self-sufficient. I have enough food to last forever, and I've got enough guns and ammunition to keep you from coming and trying to take it away from me. So there it is. There's self-sufficiency. I'm independent. Within that, the neighbors of our subdivision have probably more ammunition and weapons than just about any neighborhood in the U.S. because these guys are all rich and they all have protection to protect their homes and so on and so forth. But the reality is that's kind of off the topic. The other topic is we've all got multiple businesses. Everybody in this neighborhood has lots of money because they own multiple businesses. Now, you can't fire me from my business. You could fire my companies from being effective, say, okay, we're no longer going to pay you money. We're no longer going to buy your service or your product. That's true. But that's why we have multiple products and services, so that if one goes out of favor, other ones could be taken care of, brought up to support, or at least they're already supporting, the cost of living. And so when you're sitting there, you are in this totally dependent mode, but you don't realize it because there's something going on within that mode that you don't realize. And that is, they've stuck a ladder up against a building. And they're telling you that your success in life is not to move from a dependent little organism to an independent organism. You have been told to climb the ladder. So when you were young, your parents made you go to grade school. You didn't want to go to middle school, but they made you go to middle school. You didn't want to go to high school, they made you go to high school. You didn't want to go to college, they made you go to college. Each and every point in your life there, someone was making you do something, right? And making you change, making you grow as a person and take on more responsibility. And your parents, if they're good parents, weren't ultimately for you to be able to get out on your own. But there's no one that keeps pushing you, short of myself and my program, that's saying to you, hey, little Billy, just because you got out of college, you got a job, just because you're climbing that ladder and you make $10,000, then $50,000, then $100,000, just because you're making more money every year, doesn't mean you've grown up. You need to get out of grade school. You need to get out of high school. You need to get out of college. You need to get out of being a dependent human being and move to the next level, which is to be independent, to where you own your own life, where you control your own life financially, where you can do what you want, when you want, with whomever you want. That is the next level. That is the level that you're oblivious to, that there are people out there that have protection from the world's disasters. And the most common disaster in the world today is not hurricanes, it's not floods, it's not those things. It's people losing their jobs because of government intervention. People losing their jobs because manipulation of oil prices. People losing their jobs because the government decides which businesses should survive and which ones shouldn't. On and on and on. Everything in your life is at risk. Most of it because of what the government does or doesn't do. But you're at risk. And the only way you're ever going to undo that risk is to take the responsibility upon yourself to say, you know what, if the government says there's going to be no oil and I work in the oil industry, I'm going to have 10, 20 rent houses. Then if they lay me off, I still make the same amount of money that I made when I had my job. So they can't really stop me. If you believe that you need to make $100,000 a year or more, then you're going to need to own a business. The easiest business we know to start is an apartment complex. But you have to have one. And you have to do it before you're dead broke by losing your job and living off your savings. You need to think proactively to be independent. And that's what I didn't do. When I went on that drive, I wasn't thinking proactively. And so I became dependent on the police, the fire departments, to get me out of that flooded area. I don't like that feeling. But some of you live it your whole life. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Lifestyles Unlimited is the real estate investor education and mentoring group that has taken people by the hand and taught them how to invest in real estate for over 24 years. Our students have been so successful at creating wealth and passive income that they've won local, state, and national investor of the year awards 9 of the last 9 years. It's easy to see why Personal Real Estate Investor Magazine named us the best in the U.S. If you're ready to add real estate to your portfolio, go to 5waywemakemoney.com to access our free live training event schedule.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about being oblivious to that which goes on around us. So if you're living that life of quiet desperation, you're that middle-class American that just does everything you've been told to do your entire life. You've lived the American dream of going to school, getting college degree, getting a job, working, getting married, having a family, having a mortgage, having a car, putting money in a 401k, blah, 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 blah. But you've never done any of the stuff you really wanted to do in life, because that isn't stuff you really wanted to do. That was stuff somebody else told you need to do so that you would be totally oblivious to what's really going on out there. The world allows you to have just about anything you want in life. I believe if you help enough other people in this world get what they need, you can have anything you want in life. But most people don't believe that, because they think you don't make money by helping and serving people. They believe that you make money by going to a job and acting as if that person owns you and controls you and manipulates you and does whatever they think is necessary to perpetuate the business, which, by the way, that's what a business is. It's there to produce for its owners, and it's not there to produce for its employees. Now, there are a lot of people out there that tell you that there's a social construct, that a business is both the employees and the employers, and, you know, that's probably a good shield for people to put up and a nice little frontal face to tell people. So you could say the master and the slaves were a one and the same, and that it was really important for the master to understand the well-keeping of the slaves, right? And you say, well, Del, now you're really becoming politically incorrect. This is just harsh, just ridiculous blows to our society. Yeah, you're right. I am. That's why it's called quiet desperation, because you go along quietly, because you don't know. There's nobody out there rebel-rousing you and making you think, what could I do with my life if I didn't do what I'm doing today? Right? So now we've got two aspects of this thing. Moving from being dependent to independent, number one is to overcome the fear, and all fear comes from the unknown. So if you don't know, what is my boss going to do to me? What is the government going to do to me? What's going to happen to my financial situation? Am I going to have enough money to retire? If all those are unknowns, you're going to live in fear. Just like the other day when I was driving on this road, I go, I don't know if there's actually any real way to get back north across the Brazos River. I mean, it is flooded everywhere. And it took information. And that's what happens when you become independent. You go out there and you try to do something you've never done before. You grow as a human being. Real estate makes you a better person, because now you have to do what you did in college or high school. You have to go learn something new, something you didn't know how to do. And you can't just go into class unprepared, because you will fail the class. You have to study the topic. You have to know the right things to do. But when you do, the outcome, the results are better than A or B on a piece of paper. It is a financial situation where you become independent. It's income. And what's better than just being income? It is passive-based income, meaning that for every dollar I earn in my job, I show up an hour. And for every dollar I earn in my real estate income, I don't show up an hour. I might make 2 months worth of income without even touching my real estate, other than depositing the checks, right? But in my job, I've got to get up and go every single day, day after day after day after day. So I'm giving up my freedom. So now we're living in fear, and now we're living without freedom. So becoming independent allows you to not live in fear, and it allows you to be free and independent for the first time in your life. And you go out there, and I remember buying some real estate one time, and it had a septic system, and the septic system didn't work. I didn't even know what a septic system was, but the septic system was built inappropriately. And so I looked at the situation. I didn't know what to do. I had people saying, if you don't fix it, you're going to get, you know, fines from the government. And I was afraid of the government fining me. I was afraid of my tenant suing me. Everything. I mean, there was massive fear because I just didn't know. So what do? You do the same thing you do when you went to college. You don't know something, you go look it up. That's what real estate does to you. It teaches you to think again. So I looked up what a septic system was. I called a couple septic companies, said, you know, can you fix this thing? And they said, no, there's really not enough field area to do it. I looked into some other options, and like putting in a sewer system, and that got sent to the county. You're going to have to let the county's going to have to agree to it. I talked to the county. There you go. Talk about being afraid. You're going in front of a council of people thinking, oh my God, everybody in politics is terrible. I explained to him my problem. I said the septic system doesn't work. There's not enough field area. There's really no other option. I've got to put a sewer in. And they said, okay, here's what it will take to do it. And et cetera. You're going to have to replot the property and actually make it a subdivision. Then you're going to have to dig the hole and put the sewer in. We're going to have to come out and inspect it. And then once you've paid for it, then you donate it to us and you pay us to use it. I go, boy, that's a neat system. I like that. But I did it. And when it was all done, instead of having a bunch of little houses on a piece of land that was nothing, I now owned a bunch of houses that were in a subdivision, which doubled their value. I ended up making $400,000 on that. I had a $25,000 investment, and I spent $25,000 to have the sewer put in. But I didn't pay for the $25,000 because I simply went back to the guy that sold to me and said, you sold me a sewer system that you installed that was illegal. And so I really don't want to take you to court, but if you write me a check for what it costs to put a real sewer system in, you know, we'll just let this whole thing drop. I went to all my tenants and gave them notices. Hey, I just found out the septic system may not be up to code, and I'm going to let you all out of your leases. You all can leave. Or if you want to stay, you got to sign this waiver. It says that you got no claim against me for it, that you're accepting my response to correct the problem. And they all signed the thing. And so there it was. I go, you know, life isn't as tough as we make it out to be. And I got through the thing, and something that I paid $200,000 for, I sold for $450,000. I made tons of rent income on the thing, and it was all with a $25,000 investment. And I thought to myself, man, why was I so afraid of this situation when I started? And it was quite simple. I didn't understand what I was up against. I was dependent on sewer systems all over the country, dependent on the government to provide, dependent on the guy that sold it to me to tell me he was doing the right thing and tell me that it was acceptable, instead of myself researching it, having it checked, doing the inspections necessary to get a compliance certificate for the septic system. Now, if I ever buy a septic system again, guess what I'm getting? When I bought this home, it had a septic system. Guess what I got? Compliance. I spent research time finding out who put in the septic system, did it have a permit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What was going to be the cost to maintain it? What are the laws behind it? Because now I knew. I need to know what I own. And the same thing with a well. I had wells. I had to figure out how to use wells and how to make them effective. Well, if you own your own well, and it's a good one, it's actually better than city water. But you have to understand how to put in a well. And you have to understand how to maintain a well. And you have to understand what to do when the well has a problem. But all of that is now nothing. Because I'm independent. Because independent people realize they need to make themselves aware of their surroundings and make the correct decisions that will solve the problems when the problems come up, if they come up. but they don't live in fear. Now, once you're independent, you're going to become wealthy. It's almost inevitable. Because when there's no one to tell you you can't have more money, when there's no one to tell you you can't be more successful, when there's no one to tell you you can't grow your business, then sky's the limit. And at some point, you're going to get to the point where you're making so much money, money is no longer important in our life. Yes, it's critical to our life, but once it's taken care of, it is no longer important. They say if you don't have air, you don't care about anything else except getting air. If you have air, but you don't have food and water, then you don't care about anything other than getting food and water. If you have air, food and water, then you start to worry about social needs. Like, do I have a place to stay, a house, a car? All these needs are hierarchical. But the need, once you are independent, which all of those downline needs have been resolved, the next need may well be the most important need and the most important step to becoming completely, completely financially, socially, intellectually, religiously free. We'll take a short break, and then I'll come back and explain what I mean.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Did you know that every dollar you put into a piece of real estate makes you money five ways? Cash flow, money in your pocket each month. Equity capture, the thousands of dollars you create when you have the right team and buy the right property using the right map. Appreciation, real estate doubles in value about every 10 years. Equity buildup, renters pay down your mortgage each month. And finally, the tax advantage. We pay almost no taxes on our cash flow and capital gains. These are the five ways we make money in real estate, which is why real estate accounts for more millionaires in the world today than any other investment vehicle. You should have some real estate in your portfolio. To learn how, attend one of our free workshops. Call 1-866-971-8970 or go to fivewayswemakemoney.com and register for the next available workshop. That's 866-971-8970 or go to fivewayswemakemoney.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free. From the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we've been talking about living in oblivious to the real world. And the last segment I'd like to share with you today is about the part of the world that most people never find. And that is the part where you have enough and you are successful enough that you have the ability to start to give back. And it's an interesting thing because you hear people like Hillary Clinton on TV. Just drives me crazy, the Democrats. They think they're giving back by doing public service. What they've really done is they've got themselves a cushy public job that will take care of them and pay for them the rest of their lives. And they're helping other people by giving away our money, somebody else's money, not their money. They're getting money for free for doing nothing, being political hacks. And then they're giving our money away and taking claim that they're the ones that are doing all the wonderful giving, when they're really the ones doing all the wonderful taking. So you look at the far right, and the far right's religious belief is that you should tithe. You should give 10% of your wealth away from the very beginning. And I've heard self-help people say that the theory behind that is, okay, if you don't start that habit when you're very young, then you will always be in the fear that you won't, that you don't have enough. And by tithing away 10%, you actually train yourself to not be afraid and to believe in the abundance theory that there's always enough out there, even if you give 10% away of what you have. And then there's far greater religious reasons, you know, that you're giving and so forth. The point I'm making is I don't believe either side. I don't believe that's what really needs to happen. I believe that what really happens is that the people that become totally successful in life, financially successful in life is where I was trying to go with that. They come to a point in their life where they realize another extra million or an extra billion doesn't really mean that much to them. And they start looking for something important to do in life, a way to give back to society, a way to help. You look at Bill Gates giving away billions. You look at Warren Buffett giving away billions. They're not giving away our money. They're giving away their own money. And, you know, even though they're not actually giving their money away, which is disingenuous because none of them give their money away, they say, when I die, my money will be given away. Well, that's different than saying I'm going to give it away while I'm still alive, right? But what I'm saying is there needs to be a point in your life where you've actually made it and you know you've made it. And the only way to measure that you've made it is if you have time and willingness to go out and help other people. I've made it my commission in life since I was 35 years old to spend all of my working hours towards the goal of helping other people retire. That's it. As the ad says in the radio show, help the world retire one person at a time. Not one subclass at a time, not one governmental entity at a time, one person at a time. Because that's the way you help people. You help people mano a mano. You help them make the right decisions. You help them find the resources they need to succeed. This is what you end up ultimately needing to do. So you give away countless, countless hours of unending emails that I get. By the way, to email me is askdell@luinc.com. There's no charge for that. That's free. I'll give you opinions and advice for free. I spend countless hours answering those emails, doing radio shows, doing seminars, trying to help people see the other side of the world that they can't see because they're living in this cubicle life of quiet desperation. My goal, and it has always been, was to see how many thousands of people I could help retire before I die. How many thousands of people I could take my modicum of success, my little bit of success in this world. By far am I anywhere near a massively successful person. I am nowhere near that. But my modicum of success, which is to be just successful enough to climb out of the middle class, to be able to look back and throw my hand over the wall and say, come on, let me help you get out of that hole and get over the top of this wall. See, my arm isn't long enough to go down to the bottom of the wall to the people that are completely broke. I can talk to them about what it's like to be up here on the top of this wall, at the bottom of the next wall, the billionaire wall. Looking up the cliffs of billionaireism, I sit there and go, wow, that's amazing. I wonder what's up there. But I'll never know unless some billionaire would send his hand down to me and say, Dell, let me help you pull you out of this millionaire rut you're in. Right? But there are no billionaire seminars. There are no billionaire self-help courses. Right? They don't have them. There's no books on how to be a billionaire. There are books about billionaires, but there's no billionaire courses. And if they say they are, they're just a scam or a sham. So what I wanted to do is I actually wanted to be a for honest, for real millionaire course where it was teaching people a truth about what it takes to be there, how to scale that wall, climb out of that normal day-to-day middle-class rut that most people live in. I want to help people climb out of that and stand at the top tall. But when you get there, what I've said to everyone that I've helped for 25 years of lifestyles is that when you get there at the top of that cliff, I need you to help me build the rope, the ladder to send back for others. And that's the commitment we get. That's where we get our consultants. That's where we get our road trips. That's where we get our case studies. That's where we get our winners of major competitions who then send back maps. I believe leaders go places no one's ever gone before and send back maps. Lewis and Clark were leaders. Hillary Clinton is not. She is absorbing everybody else's wealth and redistributing it to the people that benefit her the most. I want you to not take everybody else's wealth. I want you to produce your own and help everybody else do the same. Have a wonderful day. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.